Walking with God. How is your walk with God going? How is your walk with God going? When the prophet Micah addressed the people of Israel, let's just say their walk with God, it was not going well. They had forgotten. They had forgotten God. They had forgotten what God had done for them. They had forgotten that God was the one who had set them free from Egypt, had set them free from 430 years of slavery, had made it so that they could enter into the promised land. They'd forgotten God. So instead of walking with him as their God, they instead wandered away from their God in their sin. And in failing to walk with God, then consequently what ended up happening is that their love for their neighbors was lacking. Their love for other people was lacking. They took advantage of each other. They behaved wickedly towards each other. They responded then to these sins with this attitude of entitlement and arrogance. Who are you to tell me that I'm sinning? Who are you to tell me that I'm doing something wrong here? That type of attitude. But you see, that's what happens when we turn away from God. That's what happened when God's people fail to walk with him and fail to remember all that he has done for them. Not only do they separate themselves from God in their own sinful rejection, but then they fail to love and care for the people around them. That hardness of heart, that bitterness toward God impacts the people that also God has put in their lives. And sadly, it doesn't take very long for us to realize this is happening in our own world, happens in our own lives. We see it in the Ukraine. We see it in Israel. We see it in Iran. We see it in our own country, in the state that I just came from. 16 years I lived there in the state of Minnesota. And I could go on. Walking with God is something that seems to be lost. And consequently then, so does the love for the neighbor. And the result is heartbreaking. And so as we look through the biblical lens, as we're all invited to do as we examine ourselves every single Sunday, as we look through the biblical lens of the Ten Commandments, what do we see? What do we hear? People in positions of authority are being disrespected and even harmed in their line of duty, which is breaking the fourth commandment, honor your father and your mother. People made in the image of God from all walks of life, from all levels of authority, doesn't really matter, from all offices of life, they're being hurt. They're being harmed. They're being killed, which breaks the fifth commandment. You shall not murder. People are being slandered, having their reputations hurt by others, which is breaking the eighth commandment. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. Oh, how it must break God's heart when he looks down and he sees his most prized creation, humanity. And what does he see? He sees people treating other people with such hatred. When God spoke to the people of Israel through the prophet Micah, he asked, "Oh, my people, what have I done to you? How have I wearied you? Answer me." See, God puts himself in the position of the defendant here as if he has somehow done something wrong. And yet, it's like in this text here that you can hear the longing, the loving in God's voice when he says to his people, it's like he says this because he loves them so much. You see, he says, "What have I done? How have I failed you? How have I let you down? Don't you remember all that I've done for you? Have you forgotten everything that I've done to save you? You're not just any people. You're not just those people. You're my people. And I love you. But sadly, they had forgotten. The people of Israel had forgotten God, and they had forgotten all that He had done for them. But you see, couldn't He actually say the same in today's day and age? Oh, my people, what have I done to you? How have I wearied you? Answer me. Don't you remember all that I've done for you? How I saved you? But just like the people of Israel, people in today's world have forgotten God. He's forgotten what He's done for them. And so God looks from His throne in heaven and He sees His most prized creation, and there's no justice. There's no loving of kindness. There's no walking humbly. He sees a host of hatred. How is your walk with God going? You know, I ask because as hard as it is for us to consider the possibility here, as sinners ourselves, hatred isn't something that's just out there. It's something that finds its way into our hearts as well. We are not immune to the feelings of hatred. And we are not immune to forgetting God and forgetting to remember all that He has done for us. And so we also fail to love our neighbor as ourself. An article was recently shared with me from Ambassadors of Reconciliation entitled Digital Outrage, Social Media, and the Christian Response. And the article challenges us as Christians to consider what it means to love our neighbor in a digital world by honoring the Eighth Commandment. And again, the Eighth Commandment is, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. And we learn from the Catechism, what does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not tell lies about our neighbor, betray him, slander him, or hurt his reputation, but defend him, speak well of him, and explain everything in the kindest way. So that means that in our walk with God and in love for our neighbors, no spreading rumors, no sharing concerns that harm someone else's reputation, no treating allegations as verdicts. No exaggerating or sensationalizing wrongdoing. No posting, liking, or sharing content that violates charity. None. Christians are called to protect a neighbor's good name. Not because the neighbor is innocent, but because God commands it until the proper authorities establish the truth. Social media has trained us to value publication over verification, impression over truth, speed over righteousness. But God's law remains unchanged. The Christ-like way is not the way of public speculation. It is the way of restraint, patience, and love for the neighbor, even when we feel the impulse to act otherwise. And it should also be said that this doesn't just happen on social media. It happens in the forwarding of emails, the sending of text messages, the conversations we have with friends and family, coworkers, the clerk at the store, fellow customer at the coffee shop, and other places. How is your walk with God going? Just like the people of Israel were made aware, what we find about our walk with God is that it is a humble road. Doing justice and loving kindness in no way comes naturally to us. It goes against the grain for us, actually. It doesn't come natural for us, and nor does admitting where we've been wrong in our sin. It's not easy for us to see that our harsh words and our slanderous remarks, said in conversation or posted online, are just as sinful as those we may see on the front page of the news, no matter what that action may be. That for us to respond in a way that is sinful is just as sinful, because a sin is a sin is a sin is a sin. None is greater or less than another, because they all separate us from God. How is your walk with God going? Does it include slander? The spreading of rumors? The posting of anything that is not charitable toward the character of another human being? And so now ask yourself, what needs to change as you consider that you've been called to something so much better? You've been called by God to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with the Almighty God. What do you need to repent of in the confidence that you will be forgiven? What do you need to repent of as you walk with God and learn from Him what it means to truly love your neighbor, whoever that neighbor is? Because remember, everyone is your neighbor. Everyone. What does it mean to learn from Him what it means to love your neighbor as yourself? Because that's what walking with God is all about. It's a learning experience, and it's a lifelong adventure. And I love how the Gospel of Matthew puts it. Come to me, all who are laboring and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and what? Learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Did you hear that? By your own merits, this is impossible, because we constantly do this us versus them reality in our lives. And so when we do that and we create those divides, well, on our own, we can't do it. But God welcomes us into a learning experience where we learn to love our neighbor from the very one who teaches it the best. Because He's the one who put the neighbor before Himself, even though He knew that the neighbor didn't deserve it in the least. And the neighbor? Well, that's you. That's me. We're the neighbor. Just think, where would we be without what God has done in our lives? I mean, take a moment and remember here on this walk with God. Remember and reflect on all that God has helped you through in your life. I mean, wouldn't that be cool if I just gave you like 20 minutes right now just to remember all that God has done in your life? I mean, I don't need 20 minutes. I need like 20 years. Our God is a rocking awesome God that gives and gives and gives, and we don't deserve a lick of it. And yet he keeps pouring it out. I mean, where would we be without all that he has done? Here we gather at the foot of a cross. Where would we be if it wouldn't be for Yahweh sending his son to do what? To endure slander. To endure hatred from the very neighbors that he came to save. From the very people that were at enmity with him. He came to save his enemies. That doesn't make sense. Where would we be without him? We would be just like those Israelites if God hadn't come to them. We'd still be slaves. We'd be slaves to sin, slaves to death, and slaves to damnation eternally. And that, my friends, is why God has called us to walk with him. He wants us to see that his way is the best way. It puts the self aside and it puts others first, no matter who the other may be. It's about letting go of hatred and latching on to love, knowing that you are latched on to by the one who is love. A love that's not your own because you've been bought with the price. So glorify God because all of that love comes from the one who is love. It is your God, the one who loved you first and gave himself for you on the cross. A love that he wants you not only to hold on for yourself, but a love that he wants you to share as he calls you into something that is so awesome. To love your neighbor as yourself. In the name of Jesus, amen.